3. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good. It's a privilege to be here tonight. And it's an honour to be in the church. And it's an honour to be ministering to the Carpenter's Arms as well. And God is good. Tonight is Teen Challenge graduation. And it's the highlight of our year. And I'm here and not there. I said that for the sole reason of saying that I appreciate that God has brought the Carpenter's Arms here, because I feel as if this is like being in a graduation for me to be with brothers and to be with you guys. And I love you from my heart, and tonight as I minister the Word of God and the Holy Spirit moves here, then I'm sure that you'll take me to your heart, because you realize that we've got one God and one Savior, and Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter 6, please.
Thank you.
Acts chapter 6. The Word of God is very powerful.
Amen.
It's the Word and the Holy Spirit working together that changes a man's life. So I believe in reading the Scripture in church. And tonight I've really been praying for this church. And there's two things going on in this place tonight. There is this local church that God wants to bless, and the outreach from this building and from this people. And there's also each one who has gathered here tonight that God wants to impact you in a powerful way to change your life forever. I would just read the scripture first, please. Acts chapter 6. In those days when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men." It's interesting that you've talked about that tonight, Pastor, isn't it? Men. "Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. A convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. It is biblical to lay your hands on people. Yes? So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And they seized Stephen. And the Bible tells us then that Stephen began to tell them about the word of God. And he talked about Abraham, he talked about Isaac, he talked about Jacob, he talked about Joseph, he talked about Moses. He gave them a good sermon. He talked about the tabernacle and the tent of God's meeting, and he talked about the temple. And then we'll pick up the reading again in verse 47. "But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. 'Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things?' And Stephen began to preach to these people, and he said, 'You're a stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. And you have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it.' When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at Stephen. But Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. He looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' At this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Do you mind if we stand, please? I'm going to ask God to speak to us. I work in a rehab center, but I believe that in a rehab center, if you're going to get better, you have to make up your mind, I'm going to get better. It has to be a deliberate act. I want to get better, and I'm going to do something to get better. None of you guys are going to get free from addiction unless you make a decision. I'm going to do something. I want to change my life. Yes, we need to be adamant about what we want to do. And it's the same for the church. You may not be in a rehab center, but as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, you need to start making the decision, I'm going to get my life changed. It starts right now by saying, God, I'm in church, I'm in your presence, I want you, God, to speak to me tonight. We need to be deliberate. Is anybody here going to be deliberate tonight? I want to deliberately hear from God. This community needs Jesus. This church needs to be built. I believe, I thank God for this building, but we want the people in the houses around here to come in here and to find Jesus. We want people in the rehab center to find Jesus. If you want to change your life as an addict, you need to choose. I am going to change my life. And it starts right now by saying, Jesus, will you speak to me? God, if you are real, will you speak to me? We have a real God. One thing I have learned, I've been a pastor for 25 years. I have never taken a drug in my life. I have never smoked a cigarette. I have never been drunk in my life. But one thing I do know, when I work with people who are coming into a rehab center, that they do not need wishy-washy, pathetic Christianity. They need to know for sure that God is real. Why would they want to come away from drugs and alcohol if they're going to just get a Bible and walk around with a Bible below their arm and be bored to tears? If God is not real, go back to your addiction. But I thank God that He is real. And church, as a Christian in this place tonight, you need to decide, I know that God is real and I want the living God to change this community. The same things matter. It's the same emphasis on both things. If you are a Christian, you need to start believing that God, if you're a member of this church, you need to believe that only a real God can bring people from these houses into this building. If you're in a rehab center, then you need to decide, only a real God is going to set me free from addiction. You don't want religion. You don't want religion. The church doesn't need religion. This community doesn't need religion. They need a real God. Amen. Sorry, this is the way I preach. I have learned to be myself. This is me. Yeah. Let's pray and ask God. You ask God. God, will you speak to me tonight? Amen. If you want God to speak to you tonight, just indicate to God. Say, God, I would like you to speak to me tonight by your Spirit and your Word. He will change your life. Yeah. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, thank you for the testimonies tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for guys practicing their gift and singing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in people's lives. And now as we look to you, we want to hear God speak into our lives tonight. We pray, Holy Spirit, would you and the Word of God work together to change lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we take our seats, please? See, when I was asked to come along and speak at this weekend, I went on to the website of the church and I looked to see what this church is all about. I listened to a podcast or a recording of the services that have been preached by this church. I read the web page. I thought, what is the heart of this church? The heart of this community church is to reach people for Jesus, am I right? Yeah. To be authentic, to be real, to bring the reality of Jesus to a broken community. That's what this church is all about. And it's an anniversary, 3-year anniversary of the church in this place. In this place, 3-year anniversary of the church in this place. So that is upon my heart as I'm opening my heart up to God and said, what do you want to say tonight? In this passage in Acts chapter 6, we find a church that is beginning to move. A young church. We're just right at the beginning of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 2, he poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, there is a great preaching by the power of the Spirit, and over 5,000 people have become Christians in just a couple of chapters. Then we go into Acts chapter 6, and the church is still growing. There's two things that we want in the church today, and it is quantity. We want more people in church. Somebody say amen. We want more people in church. We want quantity. There's another thing that is mentioned in this chapter, and it is quality. We want quality in church. We need quality. We need genuine, authentic, quality Christians. Real, genuine Christians. Not pretense, not facts, but the real thing. There is a real McCoy. And if you're in here tonight and you've seen some counterfeit Christianity, if you're put off by God, if you've been put off by church and you think it's dead and it's boring, if that is your impression of Christianity, I want to tell you there is a real, genuine Christianity. If I was to give you a pile of £20 notes and one of them was counterfeit, would you throw the whole pile away? There is a real, genuine Christianity. And for the guys that just come in through the door into the Carpenter's Arms, I'm telling you that there is a real, genuine Christianity. We're not all bored to tears. We're not all dead and boring. We don't just get in dark churches and be bored to tears. God is real, and there's something in this Christianity. Don't throw all of Christianity away. There's a real McCoy here that can radically change your life. Something that is real, something that is quality. And even in Acts chapter 5, it's quite an interesting passage. Early on in the church, there was a Christian couple. One was called Ananias, one was called Sapphira. And they actually lied to the Holy Spirit. They said that they brought money, and they said, that's all the money. Do you know what happened to them? Both of them dropped dead. Why put that in the book of Acts? It's full of the Holy Spirit. It's the church that's been launched, the church that's been birthed. And what the Holy Spirit is saying there is, right at the beginning of the birth of the church, the early church, God says, I want a quality church. And if there's lies and deception in it, and he let two disciples drop dead because they were being deceitful, there must be quality in the church. We must build with quality. You guys, God wants you to become quality. Jim and I have worked in rehab now for over 5 years. When I come in, I used to think, God is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. There's a lot of truth in that scripture. But what I have discovered in my life is there's a lot of stuff that God's not going to restore in my life. He's going to give me brand new stuff that I have never had before. And I tell the guys in Carpenter's Arms, he's not just going to restore, because for God to restore, you must have it in the first place. And the message to you from the Word of God is not that he will restore what the locusts have eaten. He is not going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He's not going to restore things back to you. He's going to give you stuff that some of you have never had in your life before. People, it used to be in our country that we could pray for revival. But the fact is that we are no longer able in England to pray for revival, because you can only revive what has been there before. And we have got generations that have been growing up as children and they have never been to Sunday school. They have never been to church. Yes, it's not about reviving them. It's like the passage in the book of Acts where it says that in Mars Hill that Paul taught them about the unknown God. There are children in England today, and so maybe you're in a rehab today, and you're not going to be revived. You're going to be taught about the unknown God. You're going to have a new relationship with God. God can change our lives. Quality, real, genuine Christianity. So we have Ananias and Sapphira dropping dead because they were being deceitful. Not only that, then the church is growing. Thank God for quantity coming into the church. The Bible says here, it starts off in this chapter, there's quantity. There's more and more disciples are coming in, which is wonderful. But then they said, the 12 disciples said, we now need 7 more men. 7 more men to help us build the church. What did they say? Well, anybody will do. Just get 7 more men. What they said was, pick from among you all the other disciples, not just the 12, but the 12 said to all those that got saved, there was 5,000 get saved. So they said, out of your bunch, pick 7 people, 7 men who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. So what they're saying there, we're going to build a church, we're building upon the 12 apostles, but now we need 7 more. And we need to be building with quality. Men who are known to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who here wants to be a quality disciple? I know the guys that I work with in Team Challenge, that if you become a, listen to me now, You guys that just went through the door, if you can become a quality disciple, you can become a quality father. Listen to me. If you become a quality follower of Jesus, a genuine follower of Jesus, you have a chance of becoming a quality father to your children that you're not allowed to see. If you can become a quality individual who is consistent in your Christian walk, then you will then learn the ability to be a consistent son. Maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe they will let you start visiting the house again. Maybe people will start to trust you with your niece again, so you can take your niece out for the day. If you become a quality Christian, and if you get right with God, then you will become a man who is reliable, who is dependable, who is consistent, somebody that can be trusted. I know working in a rehab center that people, men are coming to us and they're looking for their dignity back. They're looking for their self-respect back. They're looking for so they can walk with their shoulders back. God wants to do a brilliant work in your life. If you will let God do a work, He will do a quality work in your life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So here we have this church and it's growing. And they said, pick 7 men who are known to be full. And if you read this passage, it said that Stephen is, if you scan your eyes over it, you'll see he was full. Stephen was full of the Spirit. He was full of wisdom. He was full of faith. He was full of God's grace. He was full of power. He was full. As a kid growing up in Northern Ireland, and whenever we've seen a drunk man walking down the street, we say, he's full. That's the, you mean, I grew up in Ballymena. Seen a drunk man, have you ever seen somebody standing there, look at him, he's full. I used to think he was full. My mate was an alcoholic. And that's why I'm quite good at it, I can tell you. I watched him day in and day out, and he broke my heart. So I can take it off. Quite well. I used to believe that he was full. We called him full. But the truth was, he wasn't full. He was empty. People who are drunk and plastered out of their head are not full. They are empty. And the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, for the thief or the devil comes to rob and kill and to destroy you. But then Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. He wants you to have full life. The old version of the Bible says that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants to give you abundant life. God doesn't want you to become a Christian so that you've got to rein it in and become all boring and all sad. He wants you to have abundant life. If I wasn't getting more enjoyment and fulfillment out of living my life to please Jesus, then I would be out there getting plastered. I'd be taking drugs, but I've got something that this world can't give. I'm telling you that there is nothing even close to what I have in Jesus. The second place thing to Jesus is 1,000,000 miles away. It's not even a close race. Thank God for what we have in Christ. Isn't it great? So here we have Stephen. He was full. Full. Christians are not empty people. Christians are not sad people who need a crutch to lean upon. Christians are not boring, they're not empty, they're not sad, they're not... Christians have got life. And whenever you become a real, genuine Christian, you will have life and you will have abundance and you will have the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about something that's manufactured. I'm not talking about something that we pretend. It is something that is real. It is real. It's full. He wants you to be full. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 19 says that God has not, what is it? We have not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, who has set us free from the empty way of life. Thank God he sets us free from the empty way of life. He wants you to set you free from the empty way of life. See, for years I was brought up in church, and the Bible says that Jesus is the door. Let's say he's the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He is the door. And I remember even growing up and giving my life to Jesus, and as a teenager I thought, yeah, Jesus, you're mine. So here's the door. I used to come to the door and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And I just look out. Thank you, God, I'm not a drunkard. Thank you, Lord, I'm not a drug addict. Thank you, Lord, I'm not lying in the streets. Thank you, Lord, I'm not a... Thank you, Lord, you've brought me out of the empty world. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. And I was standing on this doorstep for years. I was a Christian. He said, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. I'm not drunk. Thank you, Lord, I'm not in a mess. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out of all that. And then it was just 50 years later, God tapped me on the shoulder. He said, Sammy, are you coming in? Sammy, are you coming in or what? I thought, okay. He is the door. Some of you need to realize that he has brought you out of addiction. See the guys in Teen Challenge, if they're still saying after 3 months, when we pray before we go to bed at night, if they're still saying, thank you, Lord, another day clean, it winds me up. It winds me up. See, when you come to a rehab center, all you're doing is getting back to square one. You finish your program, all you're doing is getting back to square one. And then you need to get off square one, and then you need to go and enjoy your life the way God always wanted you to enjoy your life. God help us. If all we're doing is coming on the doorpost and saying, thank you, Lord, you brought me to Carpenter's Arms. You brought me out of addiction. Thank you, Lord, I'm an holiday clean. Just going to say thank you prayers. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes God says, are you coming in, boys? Get in here. Dominic, get in here. Because whenever you get into God, think, wow, he is my Heavenly Father. Wow, the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, he can change my life. Wow, he can help me lead worship with a guitar. Wow, what God can do in my life. Wow, it's great. And whenever you become fulfilled, then you're able then to go and have a look at your child. Hiya. And your child will look into your eyes and they will see a different daddy. Because what God has done in your life. That's the truth. That is the truth. He wants to set you free. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't it wonderful we've got something to preach about? We're sitting here on a Saturday night. Saturday night, guys, what on earth are you doing? Sitting in a church on a Saturday night? Some of your old mates say, where are you? Oh, I'm in church on a Saturday night. Thank God not only are you in church, God wants you to be happy in church. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be full. Full, and Stephen was full of the Spirit. He was full of faith. He was full of the power of the Spirit. And he was full of grace. I see, when I was praying about this thing about full of grace was the thing that hit me the most. Full of grace. Church. Is anybody here in the church? Do you want lives to be changed in this community? Put your hand up. If you want it, don't put your hand up if you don't mean it. Would you like lives to be changed in this community? Would you like this church to be full of people from these houses? God, would you do it? And I believe that God is saying to me, look, Stephen was full of grace. What is grace? Do you remember when I was a kid, people said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, that sounds lovely, but I haven't got a clue what it means. Grace is G-R-A-C-E, grace, riches at Christ's expense. I really don't know what that means. The grace of God to turn this community upside down and to turn your life upside down needs to be real. It needs to be effective. It needs to be genuine. It needs to get right to you. What is the grace of God? I've been in church for years and a lot of people haven't got a clue what the grace of God is, and that winds me up. Do you know what the grace of God is? You may not be in rehab, but thank God for the grace of God in your life. What is the grace of God? What does it mean? It means that God doesn't treat us the way our sins deserve. God help us if he did. Can you imagine? Is there anybody here today night? Is anybody here tonight and you would be quite happy for every thought that you've had for the last month to be put straight onto that screen? Is there anybody in this chapel? Some of you are not in a rehab centre. Some of you are such lovely Christians. Not that this lot. But would any of you lovely Christians in this church be happy for every thought that you have had in the last month to be put up on that screen. Anybody, can we have a volunteer? Please portray all my thoughts. Well, I'm sure it would be interesting. Yeah, but the point I'm making is this, that because I know the thoughts that have been in my head, sometimes in the last month I have been angry, sometimes I have been childish and jealous, sometimes I have had a little bit of lust, even as a pastor. Can you imagine that? Sometimes I have had all sorts of thoughts. And if God treated me the way my sins deserve, I would be in trouble. He would be within His rights to send every one of us to lost eternity because of what we have done in our lives. Do you agree? But He doesn't treat us the way we deserve. What He does is the opposite. And He says, Sammy, I know that you've got these sort of thoughts. I know that you've got anger sometimes. Sometimes as a staff member in Teen Challenge, you get a little bit frustrated. Do you mean in frustration and anger and jealousy and lust? And, do you mean, and the Apostle Paul said, the good things that I want to do, I'm not doing them. The bad things that I don't want to do, I'm doing them. Has anybody ever been there? So where would any of us be if God treated us the way our sins deserve? But He doesn't. He says, Sammy, I know you've done all that bad stuff, but Sammy, I'm going to make you into a prince. Isn't that great? Not only does He not treat us the way we deserve, but He actually makes me Prince Samuel. Is anybody else here a prince? Is anybody else the son of God? Put your hand up if you're a child of God. The Bible says in 1 John, behold what manner of love that He has bestowed upon us that we can be called the children of God. He doesn't treat you the way your sins deserve. He treats you with grace. Aren't you glad about the grace of God? But listen, if you understand the grace of God, then you will exercise the grace of God. You will treat others with grace. That means, listen to me guys, listen to me church, even when you have the right to be angry with somebody, you don't be angry with them. Some guys in a rehab centre think, I have every right to be angry with him because he's a dog. This is what he has just done and I'm so mad with him. Even when you have every right to be angry with him, if you understand grace, you will not treat him the way his sin deserves, but you will do the opposite. That is grace. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Stephen was full of grace. I didn't know the guys would be here tonight, but as I'm preparing this message, I thought, I just went on to, what do they call that pedia? Wikipedia? Yeah. Wikipedia. I went on there, and I just looked at Rotherham. Rotherham. So not far from here, is it? Rotherham. It's only down the road. Between the years of 1980 and the year 2010, 1,400 children were sexually abused. 1,400 little girls between the age of 11 and 15 were sexually abused in Rotherham, down the road. 1,400 little girls. What's that got to do with the grace of God? I tell you, you know what I've discovered in Teen Challenge? When people have faced abuse and hurt and pain, that they become very angry. They're really angry. In any rehab centre, there's probably at any one time, there's 25% of people that have actually been abused in some way. That means anger. What I teach the guys in Teen Challenge. Somebody can come into Teen Challenge, I want you to see this. Somebody can come into Teen Challenge, they come walk through the door, you would have been, you know, you imagine the sort of people that we get sometimes. Walk in through the door. Have you got any of these in the carpenter's arms? When they carry carpets? And every so often you'll get somebody that comes in and they're really angry. Walk through the door. The boys that have been there for a few weeks, few months, they look at them. They think, and the first reaction of the boys that have been there a few months is, who do you think you are, son? And the wee boy comes down, he sits down there. F you! Banging about the place. And somebody's been there for a few weeks or 3 months, and they're ready to come back to him. We need to learn that hurting people hurt people. Did you hear me? Hurting people hurt people. Stephen was full of grace. He was going into a church where there was a lot of moaning going on. Acts chapter 6 says there was a lot of people complaining. There's quantity was coming in. Loads more people were becoming disciples. But there was a lot of complaining. When you have a lot of complaining, you need somebody that's got wisdom and a lot of grace. So somebody that is full of grace, as a spirit-filled man, can actually say, yep, you're hurting. Yep, you're wanting to smash the place up. Yep, God loves you. And I'm telling you, God, if we really want to change this community, hurting people are going to walk into the church, Pastor. We need the church to be ready, to be full of grace. And whenever they go mad and they slander and they shout and they bite, you say, it's all right, I understand. I understand your anger. Can you give them a hug? The grace of God changes people's lives. Amen. Do you mean? Can you imagine? I believe that if there's them 1,400 girls, 1980, 15 years of age, that means that now they're probably about the same age as me. About 50 years of age now, if they were abused in 1980. It's a 15-year-old. That's mad, isn't it, 1980, that far gone. They could come into this church and they could be sitting there full of anger. And I wonder what tonight, what's inside you? I'm coming to an end of this. What's inside you? Listen to this statement now. Listen to it really carefully. Stephen was full because he was empty. Listen to that carefully. Stephen was full because he was empty. See, Simon, what are you on about? At the start of his sermon, he talks about the glory of God. At the end of his sermon, he talks about the glory of God. He was so empty of himself that he could be full of God. I wonder what's inside you here tonight. What's inside you? Here's another statement, and I may talk about this tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. Church, people, are you ready to reproduce? Listen to me. Are you ready to reproduce? That's quite a controversial question, isn't it? Are you ready to reproduce? Listen to me now so you have an idea of where I'm coming from. You can only reproduce what is inside you. Listen to me. Are you ready to reproduce? Listen to me. Are you ready to reproduce? You can only reproduce what's inside you. Stephen was full because he was empty. He had emptied himself, of sin, of hatred. And he became a really man that was full of grace and compassion. He had emptied himself and he had allowed God's Spirit to fill him. Before God's Spirit can fill you, you need to let him take out the rubbish. What is inside you? Is there anger? Are you angry inside? Are you... What's inside you? You can only reproduce what you are. Have you come to a place where you say, God, take my life. Take my anger. God, there's unforgiveness deep inside me. Somebody hurt me when I was a child. Somebody rejected me. Somebody let me down. Somebody, oh God, it hurts me. God says, okay, you're going to give it to me. Are you ready to say, Jesus, I want to become empty of all the rubbish, all the pain. I want to receive the grace and the mercy of God. Bible says Stephen was full of grace. How did he show that? As they stoned Stephen to death and he seen Jesus, he looked and he could see Jesus. And he said these words as they were stoning him and he was dying. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Those words prove that he was full of grace. Yes? Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they are doing. And if you come across a wee girl that has been abused, or if you come across a fella that's been abused and hurt in his life, you better show that fella grace. But thank God for the grace of God. The grace of God says, Jesus, as he hung upon the cross for you, he says, Father, forgive him. See that fella that's just come into the car with his arms, and he's angry, and he's shouting, and he's swearing, and he's mocking, and he doesn't know whether he wants God anywhere near him. As Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive that fella. He hasn't got a clue what he's doing. Jesus says, little wonder he's so angry because of what he's been through as a child. Jesus says, Father, he doesn't understand. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's been hurt so much. Father, forgive them. If you're going to punish me. Jesus took your punishment. Isn't it wonderful to have such a Savior? This, the love of God, is what this community needs. Is anybody here ready to be empty so that they can be full? We need to get empty before we can get full. He's taken us to a new place. He brings us to our knees. And he's brought me to my knees many a time. He just says, Sammy, are you ready to give me everything? Yeah, God, I can't do it myself. You become empty, then you can become full. I think I'm just about finished. He wants you to be full. Are you ready to reproduce? You can only reproduce what you are yourself. What's inside you? If there's still anger inside you, and you say, Jesus, would you take my anger away? Do you mean? If there's unforgiveness inside you, they hurt me, Jesus. Are you ready to say, Jesus, I want to become empty so I can become full? Take away that bitterness inside me, that chip on my shoulder, that grudge inside me. Take it away. He really wants us to go through that. He wants to bring us to a place where we can be full. He wants you to be full. He wants you to be full of grace. He wants you to be full of wisdom. He wants you to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. But before he can do that, you need to be empty before you can be full. Are we ready to surrender our lives to Christ? Let's stand together, shall we, please? Let's bow our heads in his presence. What a mighty God we serve. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a loving God? And he's gracious and he's compassionate. And can I really say to the guys in rehab tonight, he wants to get you to your square one, and then he wants you to take you beyond that. He wants to lead you into what you were always meant to be. He wants you to be full. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to be happy in your own skin. Yes, Jesus wants you to be happy in your own skin. Are you happy in your own skin? He wants you to be happy in your own skin. He wants your confidence to grow. He wants you to be so confident that you can be so full of the Spirit whenever you're leading worship, that you can lead worship with the power of the Spirit all over you. He wants you to be fulfilled. Don't he wants to bless you. Praise his holy name. Do you want to play something, Daniel? Praise the name of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. He's here. God is here. We don't need to manufacture it. Don't need to web it up. It's real. I thank God for what I've got in Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Does anybody else love Jesus?
Yes.
The Bible said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be full. He wants you to learn how to drink. Some of you knew before you came to a rehab center, you knew how to drink alcohol. Boy, you could drink it. But some of you still haven't learned how to drink of God. There's an oasis. There's a fountain. There's something that can quench your thirst and the yearning and the emptiness inside you. He wants you to learn how to drink of him. And I believe tonight, first of all, he's asking somebody here tonight, are you ready to be empty? Are you ready to give me all the garbage? Has anybody got any garbage inside them tonight? Got any garbage inside? He can deal with the garbage. And I understand, I take guys that we have, our Teen Challenge program's a year long, and it's a year long for a reason, because you've got to work through stuff. But I believe that sometimes God can do something in 5 minutes that I can't do as an advisor in a year. Well, that's definitely true, actually. Turn your eyes upon Jesus tonight. If anybody's got any garbage, you want to bring it to Jesus, just bring it to the front of the church. Bring it to the front of the church. Just, if you've got some garbage, say, God, there's something in here. I haven't given it to you yet. Take it from me tonight. I'm giving it. I'm giving it. I'm giving unforgiveness. I'm giving anger. There's something in me, and I'm ready to give it tonight. If you give it to him, he will fill you. But you need to get empty first. And it may be that we bring this first, we make this first appeal, and then you go back to your seat and say, right now, are you ready to come and get full? Let's get empty first. Does that make sense? If you come and forget about me, it's not, don't think about me, think about Jesus. what we're going to do, you're going to bring something that you want to get rid of. Then we'll ask you to get your seat, and then you can walk back out and say, God, now will you fill me? Oh, thank God for his grace and compassion. Thank you for your grace and your compassion. Thank you, Jesus. Just as you come out tonight, forget about everybody else that's here tonight and just begin to talk to God and say, God, you know what's inside me. I give it to you. Jesus, help me tonight, Jesus. Help me tonight, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, if you want to kneel down, you can do whatever you feel that you need to do. Just forget about me, forget about people. Say, God, I'm giving you the garbage tonight. I'm giving you the garbage. I'm letting it go tonight. I'm giving you the garbage, Jesus. I'm giving that unforgiveness. God, I'm letting you deal with that person. If there's somebody that's hurt you, say, God, you deal with them. I'm letting them go. You let me go, I'm letting them go. I'm letting them go, God. I want to reproduce something in my children's life. I do not want to reproduce hatred. Come on, guys. I do not want to reproduce hatred. I do not want to reproduce hatred. I'm not ready to reproduce tonight. I need to get rid of this hatred out of my heart tonight, Jesus. I give it to you, Jesus. I give it to you, Jesus. Help me with it tonight, Jesus. I want to let it go. You need to help me let it go, Jesus. But I know I need to get rid of it. In the name of Jesus, help me, Jesus. Help me let go of it. I can't do it myself, Jesus. Help me let go of it. Praise you, Jesus. Pastor, if you want to pray, if you want anybody to come and help this minister, Jesus, just you pray yourselves. Give your heart to Jesus tonight. Give your heart to Jesus tonight. It's an old-fashioned statement that says, are you ready to let Jesus into your heart? And when people become a Christian, they say, I've let Jesus into my heart. But tonight, are you ready to let him into your heart? That heart, are you ready to let him into your feelings and say, God, I've got stuff in here that's hard tonight, Jesus. I've got a hard heart, Lord. And Lord, I'm scared to let the barrier down, but Lord, I'm letting you into my heart tonight. I'm letting you into my heart tonight, Jesus. Come right into the center of my emotions, Jesus. Come in, Jesus. Come into my emotions, Jesus. Come into my heart tonight, Jesus. And Lord, I trust you. I wouldn't trust anybody else, Jesus, but I trust you. You know how this feels. You know the pain I've been through. You know the anger that's built up inside me throughout the years. But I'm letting you into it, Jesus. Come on right into it, Jesus. I'm not satisfied just to be in a rehab center feeling a wee bit better. I need more than that. I need you to set me completely free, Jesus. And he is able to set you completely free. He wants to do a quality work in your life. He wants to do a God work in your life. Not an advisor's work in your life, not a counselor's work in your life. He wants to do a God work in your life. Only God can do the miracle of grace in your life. Let him in. Let him into your heart tonight. Jesus, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.